May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, if you can remember back that far, I spoke about the global prayer initiative, Thy Kingdom Come, which encouraged Christians everywhere to especially pray during the period between Ascension Day and Pentecost, to pray, Come, Holy Spirit, and Thy Kingdom Come. And to help us to do that, I gave out some prayer cards last week with two prayers on them and encouraged us all to pray these prayers every day through this week. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you whether you did do that or confess if you didn't. But the emphases of the two prayers were slightly different. One was focused more on ourselves and the other on our relationship with others. Both of these aspects of life and faith, our own relationship with God and our relationship with others, the vertical and the horizontal, as I said last week, are both important. And we need the Spirit to draw us both deeper into our relationship with God our Father and deeper in our relationships with one another. We say week by week, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. The Spirit is the giver of life, not just the giver of energy and liveliness, not just a kind of spiritual force, but the giver of personal life, of relationship with God and relationship with one another. The Spirit is God himself within us and among us. The Spirit is the go-between God, as one writer famously said. The Spirit goes between us and the Father and the Son, and between us, one another. So first let's think about that vertical relationship, that relationship with God. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus talks to his disciples first about the Father. Everything that Jesus is, says, and does comes out of an intimate relationship with the Father. He even tells Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Wherever Jesus is, the Father is also present. But then he goes on to tell his disciples about the Spirit. And in effect, he says, wherever the Spirit is, he will also be present. The work of the Spirit with them and in them is to bring them into the same deep, intimate knowledge with the Father which Jesus himself has. It's the Spirit who opens our eyes to see, our minds to understand, and our hearts to respond to God. It's the Spirit who enables us to call God Abba, Father, as Jesus did. Jesus himself lived life full of the Holy Spirit. He lived with a constant awareness of and openness to God and other people. He was in intimate communication with Abba, his Father, at all times, and he recognized the true nature of the people around him. He was completely open in the recognition, the awareness, the intimate encounter, the true relationships which the Spirit makes possible. Filled with the Spirit, he was full of the life and love of God. And Jesus promised this same Holy Spirit to his disciples. Although he will leave them soon, he promises the Father will send another advocate, the Spirit of Truth. The Greek word is paraclete, which means advocate, comforter, encourager. The Spirit will help the disciples see things clearly. He will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you, Jesus says. He will be a personal presence with them, helping them understand the meaning of Jesus' words, his actions, his life, his death and resurrection, and drawing them deeper into relationship with God. And the Spirit continues to work with us and in us to teach us, to strengthen us, to open our eyes, to give us life. As one writer puts it, the Spirit communicates to us the life that is in the Father and the Son, so that we actually share and experience it in ourselves. The Spirit is God's gift of love, his gift of his very self to us. But the Spirit also enables us to give ourselves back to God, to respond with faith and love. We all have to respond to God's love in Christ for ourselves. No one else can do it for us, but we can't do it by ourselves. We need God's help to believe in Christ, to pray, to grow in faith and love. We need the Spirit. Now, in case this sounds all very abstract, think about the practical disciplines of Bible reading and prayer. We cannot understand the Bible without the Spirit. The Bible comes alive to us through the Spirit. Perhaps we may all be able to recall moments of illumination when suddenly a word or a phrase or a passage seems to jump off the page to us and speak directly to our hearts. Indeed, this is what we try to practice when we do the Lectio Divina sessions on a Thursday, a small group of us together. The Spirit enables us to encounter God through the words we hear or read. And what about prayer? The Spirit enables us to call God Abba Father, as we heard in our reading from Romans. The Spirit leads us into a new intimacy with God. But we all know that we have times sometimes when we don't know what to pray for, we don't know how to pray, we're just stuck. But Paul goes on to say, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Prayer is not just an activity we do, but it's a gift given to us as we allow God's Spirit to work in our hearts. So we don't need to be anxious in prayer about finding the right words or finding the right techniques. We need simply to spend time in our Father's presence, perhaps without any words, allowing the Spirit to pray in us and to work in our hearts. So the Spirit leads us in that deeper relationship with God our Father, that vertical relationship. And this is crucial for the life of the church. I recently read an address by Evelyn Underhill to the 1930 Lambeth Conference. The Lambeth Conference is the gathering of bishops all around the world, which is held every 10 years. Evelyn Underhill was a remarkable lay woman who wrote many books and led many retreats on prayer and the deepening of the spiritual life. And she challenges the bishops in this 1930 Lambeth Conference that what the church most needs is not lots of exciting programs, but what it most needs is priests and people who pray. Priests and people who recognize that the Holy Spirit is the one source of power and life, and who make time to grow and deepen their lives in the Spirit. And I think her words are as powerfully challenging today as they were in 1930. Of course, it's not that we are to be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. We are to be people who live out our faith in word and deed, who care for the poor and those in need around us in active ways, but to remember that all we do comes out of the spiritual life given to us by the Spirit. However, this life of the Spirit, this prayer, is not just about me and God. At the same time the Spirit draws us deeper into relationship with God, the Spirit also draws us deeper into relationship with one another. This is the horizontal dimension. And we can't have one without the other. As one writer puts it, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of relationship. As he opens us up to the Father and the Son, he opens us up to one another as well. The Spirit brings about togetherness, community. Earlier we heard the account in Acts of that first Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. This wasn't a private experience, but one in which they all shared. And it was an experience not just for their own benefit, but to equip them to communicate the good news of Christ, the love of God, to others. Filled with the Spirit, the disciples go out into the streets of Jerusalem and proclaim the message, communicating in different languages, to the crowds in the city. The Spirit brings people together in unity, a unity beyond the human bonds of family or nation. A new community is brought together in the Spirit. And if we continue reading the book of Acts, we see that those first Christians shared their lives together in a very remarkable way. They met regularly to pray and worship, to learn about Jesus, to break bread together in their homes, and they shared their resources with those in need amongst them. So as we are challenged to allow the Spirit to deepen our spiritual life and our desire to pray, we are also challenged to allow the Spirit to deepen and strengthen our community life. And today we are celebrating the richness and diversity of our community here at St. Ursula's, that the Spirit draws us together from many different cultures, nations and backgrounds. And I hope that you can join in the celebratory lunch after the service. I began this sermon mentioning the prayer cards I gave out last Sunday. And one of those prayers is written by Saint Benedict, the founder of Western monasticism. He was a man who knew that life in the Spirit, true spiritual life, involves both commitment to silence and prayer and commitment to the community. And I would like us to think further as a church about these two aspects of life in the Spirit. I've recently written a little Grove booklet, very little booklet here, and it's called Solitude and Community, but the subtitle is Open to God, Open to Others, which is what I've been speaking about this morning. And it encourages us to make sure that we nourish our relationship with God through silence and prayer. Sometimes perhaps we need solitude to help us to do that. But also to learn more what it means to be a community drawn together in Christ through the Spirit. I've bought some copies. I've got a few copies. I'm ordering a lot more. And I've bought them. But if anyone would like to take one, I'm asking people, could you make a generous donation to church funds? So there's some out in the hall. And I'm hoping to gather a small group together to think about some of the issues that I raise in that booklet, starting Thursday, the 20th of June, after the morning Eucharist. May the Holy Spirit, the giver of life within us and among us, open us up more fully to God and to one another. Let us pray. Loving Father, pour out your Spirit upon your people and grant to us a new desire for you, a new communion with one another, a new energy to serve others, that your life may grow among us and your kingdom come, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.